Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you, David, for that very generous welcome. Lovely to be here to talk about such an important topic. A few sort of key headlines for me, which I'll then elaborate on. The current most likely route to decarbonising the UK energy system would probably lead to demands on the grid from other numbers, I'm sure from other speakers, but you know, of the order of three times as much demand on the electricity grid as the one today. If it had this, well, the demand would be three times. The question is, what sort of structure of grid do you need to deal with that extraordinary increase? If you were to structure it as we have today, merely build more wires and transformers and substations, it would take, I mean, I think from our experience in the last century of building what we've got today, it would take you decades. It would cost tens of billions of pounds. It would probably strain public acceptance, particularly in sort of sanctioning and getting new infrastructure through planning permission. The existing grid was built in very different circumstances where, for example, pylons striding through the countryside communities was by and large welcomed back in the 60s and 70s, and those conditions aren't those that we have today. And we know that from trying to build new transmission lines, for example, to Hinkley nuclear power station, and how significant sanctioning and planning permission can be as an issue. So therefore, what I'm going to suggest is that we need to have an entirely different approach to thinking about the grid that we need for the future, if indeed, you know, it's right that we need to supply a much greater demand for electricity. So I'll explain why I believe the challenge is so large, and then I'll explain a different approach. Currently, electricity provides, I don't know what it is exactly these days, but the order of 20% of our end-use demand. And the most likely decarbonisation route for transport and domestic heating, at least, as I'm sure people in the room are very aware, is likely to be via electric cars and heat pumps. To do most of the work on decarbonising heat and transport in that way, sort of, will probably get you something like three times the demand. It might be four, it might be two, depending on how you do it. Undoubtedly, other technologies will have major roles, particularly hydrogen, biofuels. There's an awful lot of talk about hydrogen at the moment, but actually they're likely to change, you know, whether it's three or four, and will make a difference. But whichever way you look at it, in my view, electricity demands are going to increase substantially. So biofuels and hydrogen will probably be limited somewhat by land use considerations in the case of biofuels and in terms of hydrogen by the scarcity of green electricity. And green electricity to make green hydrogen is going to remain scarce for decades, undoubtedly. Just to decarbonize our existing electricity footprint will take us quite a long time, never mind a substantial increase. So we're likely to use biofuels and hydrogen, in my view, where they really are the absolute best solution. Perhaps things like aviation, industrial heat, heavy transport, and we're likely to have to be very careful to use them, if we're wise, where there really are much worse alternatives rather than for decarbonizing domestic heat, for example, in a wholesale way, or transport in a wholesale way. In particular, I want to say a quick defense of this position in terms of a word on heat pumps. In a world where we desperately are going to be trying to create more green energy. The idea that we're not excited by a technology which can take one unit of scarce, precious green energy and turn it into three, that's a very strange world to me. And I sometimes think, you know, it's part of the problem of our lack of excitement about heat pumps, because heat pumps sounds really dull. You know, and I sort of wonder, you know, maybe we should call them heat miracles or heat wonders or heat magicians. You know, perhaps we should dispense a load of heat. Or, you know, they are a fantastic resource for us in a world where green energy is going to be so short to convert one to three. We shouldn't forget that. And to reinforce that point, in a world where you're trying to balance hydrogen heat pumps as solutions for domestic heat, I mean, there's no doubt hydrogen will do significant amounts of domestic heat, probably, though, around industrial applications of hydrogen. But in a world where the incremental source of green electricity to go into either into heat pumps or to go into making green hydrogen, the reality is that you need the incremental source is wind farms, which it probably is, even with substantial encouragement to things like nuclear. Then you need five times as many wind turbines to do it with hydrogen as you do to do it with heat pumps, because electrolysis is 70% efficient, and heat pumps are 300% efficient. So the maths is quite easy on this. The scale of this challenge on the grid means that I should certainly immediately mention the importance of driving forward building efficiency. We are desperately overdue a really strong focus on a determination on building efficiency, both for new buildings and as retrofit. This challenge is so enormous, we just have to start by making it smaller. Not only will electricity demand overall be higher, it will have a different shape. And when in 2003 I moved from being responsible for the electricity system in the UK to being responsible for the electricity and gas system, I was, as an electrical engineer, a bit horrified to find out the peakiness of domestic heat. You know, we're talking about 5-6 times, you know, peakiness compared to, you know, what I was used to in electricity of you know, a factor of 2 or something like that. So we do need to worry about this peakiness of demand that may well get displaced on the electricity system. On the electricity, so that's demand. On the electricity supply side of the grid, of course, things are changing as well, very, very much. Moving from large, remote-ish, but inland fossil fuel generation to a blend of very remote, very large offshore wind farms and nuclear power stations, plus a plethora of small and very small, highly local and distributed sources. That's very different. And overall, the set of sources will multiply, you know, therefore increasing the challenges of grid coordination. We already, because of the intermittency of renewables, we're already up from, I think, what used to be in my day, about 60 gigawatts installed capacity to plus 100, because, of course, the utilization factor of renewables is much lower. And yet, of course, in terms of the grid, you know, it may be that wind farms are at 30 or something, 30% utilization, but when it's blowing, you need full grid capacity to use that resource. So there are lots of different things going on with the design of our grid. Trying to build more wires and transformers to cope with all this will, as I've said, be long, expensive, and unpopular. So we not only have to reduce the size of this challenge, but we have to think of other solutions. And luckily, we have a variety of opportunities ahead of us that can help us reduce the challenge and use new technologies and new ideas to make the grid work with much less than an expansion of three times in terms of the wires and transformers and substations. And those things are to think about the demand, the supply side, storage in particular. So on the demand side, we know that a lot of this new demand is of quite different nature to what was there before. So we're used to electricity demands, which are really about, you know, what gives you a kettle and you know, being able to turn it on, the kettle boils, and there you have your cup of tea. You know, so a lot of our demand was those sorts of instant use type of things that couldn't be displaced in time in a way. A lot of the new demands are going to be things that are much more flexible in time. So particularly car charging and heat pumps are going to be able to be displaced in time in a smart energy system. And a smart energy system is what we need to defray the large amounts of investment that are potentially out there. We need to use those local distributed generation sources, which are a huge boon in this world because they reduce the intensity of grid loading, because by and large, we're used to a grid system that drives the power from high voltages down to low voltages, and that's where the constraints are. And we will need to optimize and develop and deploy storage technologies. We must never forget that our current energy system is based more than anything on stored energy. That's what fossil fuels are. That's why we've got away for so long with being able to just meet customers' instant requirements for energy, because we have lots of inherent storage of fossil fuels. We will need to replicate those. And to bring all this together, we have another great opportunity, which is in digital and communication technologies, which are now so widespread and so important. And so to bring all this together, the optimization of storage, demand, and intermittent and local generation sources, we need a smart grid system powered by, in terms of technologies, digital and communication technologies to optimize our grids, not from wholesale, not from the top down as we have done historically, from the bottom up, so that we make the most of the grid system that we've got at the moment. To balance grids from the bottom and the top, but certainly from the bottom first, where that's economics do. We don't do, you know, any of that at the moment. To support this change, we will need a number of changes to how we manage our energy systems. A real focus on innovation in energy systems, which of course the energy systems catapult is championing from our headquarters in Birmingham. We will need vigorous engagement with customers, because we need a much smarter grid that involves customers and moves and enables us to optimize the grid system while satisfying their needs for energy for their day-to-day lives. We need very different regulation. We need more granular energy markets, which can encourage that very detailed optimization, both in planning and operational timescales of the electricity system. We need local. We need local, local, local. We need to have each area of the country on a similar basis generating local energy plans to make the most of the resources that are there and to operate them optimally. And to support all of this, we will need substantial new roles for local authorities, for regional organisations, to dovetail in with national government devolved authorities, devolved administrations as we have today. So my call is for a very different approach to building out the grid with the new demand on it, which is based on a changed approach to institutional architecture and the deployment of digital and communication technologies to balance the grid from the bottom up. Thank you.